Praise the Lord. Good morning, Victory Outreach. Praise the Lord. Come on, give Jesus some praise right there where you're at. Put your hands together. Come on, give me a thumbs up right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, you're giving a thumbs up for Jesus. Amen. If you love Jesus, give him some hearts right there. Amen. Give him a hug. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's be an on-fire online church. Okay, praise the Lord. Amen. We want to welcome everybody that's watching, tuned in through Facebook Live and YouTube Live. We want to welcome you. I want to encourage you to go ahead and start a watch party. Amen. This morning, God has given me a word this morning that I believe that will be a blessing to you. Amen. And to many people that are out there that are watching. And so I want you to go ahead and do that. Amen. Spread the gospel by spreading the word. Praise the Lord. And let's do the work of the ministry. Let's do the work that God has called us to do. Amen. How many know that the work doesn't stop? Amen. But the work continues. Amen. And who would have thought that the work would be so simple now? Amen. It's as simple as just pushing a button. Amen. It's as simple as you doing it from the palm of your hand, that you can start a watch party, that you can share this video, that you can write somebody's name in the comment. Amen. That they'll be able to see their name pop up in their notification, and they'll see you tag them into something. They'll be able to click on that, and then it'll shoot them to our church service. Amen.
Amen.
It was hard to get people to church when we were coming to the building, remember? Uh-huh. Amen. It was hard to get people to come, right? You know, but it's so easy now.
Yes.
Amen. And they're most likely to click on that. Amen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As soon as they click on that, they're in the house of God. Come
yes.
on, somebody. So it has been made simple. Amen. And so I encourage you to do that. Let's evangelize. Let's win souls. Let's share the word of God. Amen. By sharing this feed. Amen. And also starting a watch party. Amen. I'm excited this morning to be able to share God's word with you this morning.
Amen.
This morning, amen, I titled this message that I'm going to share with you, Faithfulness Through It All.
Amen.
Faithfulness Through It All. I want to thank the worship team, amen, for just doing a beautiful job. Come on, give them a hand, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, the worship team, for working hard week in, week out, amen. Coming in and just bringing worship right into your home, amen. Also, the media team, we want to thank them, amen, for working so hard. Don't you appreciate our worship and media team? Come
yes.
on, somebody. I bet you appreciate them now. Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so we're excited to be here and to be with you there in your house and the palm of your hand. Amen. And just bringing the word of God to you. Amen. So this morning, again, like I said, I want to share a message I entitled Faithfulness Through It All.
Amen.
I believe that this is a time that we as the people of God have to remain faithful.
Yes.
Somebody say faithful.
Faithful.
Come on, write it in those comments. Faithful.
Faithful.
Faithfulness
faithful.
Through it all.
Yes.
You know, and I believe that should be our motto right now. That's what we have to live by. This is a time where this statement, this title is being tested. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be faithful through it all?
Yeah.
Through the ups and through the downs. Through the mountaintops and through the valleys. God has called us to be faithful through it all.
Yes, amen.
My text this morning is out of the book of Proverbs chapter 20 verse 6. The book of Proverbs chapter 20 verse 6. The word of God reads there. It says, many claim to have unfailing love. But a faithful person, who can find?
Ooh, come on.
Question mark. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person, who can find?
Come on.
Question mark. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint it to our hearts here this morning. I pray for all those that are tuned in. I pray that you will remove all distractions.
Yes.
We know that it is so easy to be distracted, especially as they're at home watching online. But I pray right now that they wouldn't allow themselves to be distracted. Lord, for the next few minutes, God, that they would stay focused, God, on what you have for them. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just, Lord, cause them to be able to have focus. Give them an anointing to focus. Give them an anointing to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church here this morning. Lord, we thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Right now, our faithfulness as a church is being tested.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Come on now.
Are we being faithful to God during this time? Are we being faithful to the mission?
Come on.
Come on now.
That God has given us. As individual Christians,
come on.
Our faithfulness is being tested. See, I want you to know, church, that this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
Will we continue to be faithful?
Come on.
To what we have been taught by the Word of God?
Come on.
Will we continue to be faithful by what we have been taught by God and the Holy Spirit?
Come on.
Will we continue to be faithful to what our pastors and leaders have taught us throughout the years?
Come on.
Now, we have been faithful. It's easy to be faithful sometimes when we're on the mountaintop experience.
Well.
When we're riding high, when the blessings of God are flowing. But can we be faithful in the hard times?
Come on.
Yes, come on.
Now, we've been away from church physically for 2 months.
Wow.
I've lost count, lost track. Not because we want to, but because we have had to. Now, if we're not careful, we can get comfortable living without coming to church.
Wow.
We can get comfortable without assembling with the saints.
Come on now.
We need to be careful that we don't get too comfortable.
That's right.
And not assembling together with the body of Christ, because Hebrews still says, do not neglect the gathering of the body of believers. And I want you to know that this morning, you are gathering with the body of believers.
Right.
Even though it may be online, you are gathering. And even though it may not be physical, but you're there in the spiritual and
right.
You're there in the virtual.
Yeah. Ooh, come on, somebody.
And this is you this morning, by you staying logged on, you're gathering with the saints. We can't get lazy and not want to come back. Because it is tempting to get comfortable. And all of a sudden, we as Christians can get lazy and not want to come back and get involved in ministry.
Jeez, come on.
Wow.
We can even get tired or allow the devil to talk us out of tithing and giving.
Wow.
Now we know that God is good.
Come on, all the time.
That's right, all the time. And all the time, God is good. But the question is, can we be faithful
good.
All the time?
Wow. Come on.
Jeez, come on.
God is good all the time. But the question is for us today, can we be faithful all the time?
Wow.
Psalms 18:25 says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful.
Come on.
Good.
In other words, He's faithful to the faithful.
Right.
To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. To those that are faithful, God will reveal Himself to be faithful to you.
Yes, that's right.
Come on now.
He's faithful to the faithful. Right. This is why it's important to stay faithful.
Right.
You're going to hear that word a lot in this sermon, faithfulness.
Come on.
I want you to know that God blesses those that remain faithful.
Amen.
Right.
Those of you that have been remaining faithful. I know it's tempting to go church hopping.
Ooh, come on.
Or should we call it church scrolling now? Jump off of VOGP page to go to, come on, some other page, right? We won't name churches, amen. We're all in this together. But nevertheless, this is your church. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I know there might be some watching and you probably got a later service or an earlier, so that's fine. We understand. But nevertheless, we got to stay faithful.
That's right.
We got to remain faithful. God blesses those that remain faithful. You may say, but Pastor, I've seen the unfaithful blessed. I've seen the unfaithful get blessed. The Bible does talk about how when the wicked thrive and the wicked prosper. You probably say to yourself, Pastor, I've seen the unfaithful get blessed. Now, maybe you have seen that. Well, how do you know that that blessing was from God? It could have been a blessing from self.
Oh, come on, somebody.
You know, we could bless ourselves. You do it all the time. Come on, somebody. You go bless yourself with the manicure. You go bless yourself with the pedicure. You go bless your, you go bless your game with some shoes. We bless ourselves all the time. How do you know that blessing wasn't from self? Or how, or worse, how do you know that blessing wasn't from Satan? See, that type of blessing has sorrow attached to it.
Oh, come on, somebody. Break it down.
See, that type of blessing was achieved through painful toil or struggle or work. But I want you to know that the blessings of God.
Wow.
According to Proverbs 10:22, it says the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. And check this out. And he addeth no sorrow with it.
That's good, Pastor.
See, when God blesses your game, there's no sorrow attached to it. Too many times we've blessed ourselves, but at the end of the day, we end up hurting ourselves.
Jeez, come on.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? So this morning, I want to share with you three things faithfulness does for you. Number one, faithfulness makes you look good.
That's right, come on.
Come on, look to the person watching next to you and tell them, you look good this morning.
You look good this
morning. Well, I don't know if they do or not. I don't know if they got dressed up. Amen.
Oh, Lord.
I know some of you, you've been coming to church in your PJs. Come on, somebody.
Hey.
Been coming to church, but you know, just, you know, didn't comb your hair. It's all right. You can do that right now. I do encourage you to get up and get ready, though, for church. But nevertheless, they still look good.
Come on.
You know why? Because God is good. You know why? Because God don't make trash.
Come on.
God don't make ugly. Everybody is beautiful in his sight.
Right.
And you look good despite all that. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
See, I want you to know that faithfulness makes you look good. There's too many bachelors and bachelorettes that just look for the outward markings of attraction. There's too many single men, single women, bachelors, bachelorettes, they just look for the outward marks of attraction, like a nice figure.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody.
Huh? She got to have like a figure eight. Right? He has to have like a six pack like me.
Wow.
Okay, I got more like a keg, amen. Not a beer belly, amen. I've been delivered. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on, put some laughs up there, amen. Put some ha-has up there, amen. Huh? See, too many people, they look for the figure. Or they look for, check this out, the figures. Catch that? In other words, the figures, how much money they got.
Wow.
Too many bachelors, they look for those figures, that figure, but they neglect to check for faithfulness.
Come on.
Huh? Wow. They neglect to check for faithfulness. The number one thing that they want from a spouse, they neglect to check for it.
Wow, it's heavy.
Nobody wants to be get married to an unfaithful person, to an adulterer. They neglect to check for faithfulness. And the proof of this is that they rush in too fast.
Fools rush in.
That's right, fools rush in. They rush in too fast. See, when you rush in too fast, it's like playing the slot machine. You pull the lever and you hope you get those winning numbers.
Wow.
But the chances of that are slim. Come on, somebody. Slim to nothing, the chances are that you're going to get a winning number. See, as a single man, I wanted to make sure I was attracted to her physically.
Come on.
And I still am. Come on, honey, blow me a kiss now. Send me a heart, honey. Amen. Huh? As a single man, I wanted to make sure I was attracted to her physically, but that was not the deciding factor.
Come on.
That's right.
I wanted to know what's on the inside. Was God in there? Was there integrity in there?
Come on.
Was there faithfulness in there?
Come on.
See, my wife's faithfulness to God and to the church and to ministry was shining bright.
Come on.
And that made her beautiful to me. And I want you to know for now that we've been married for 13 years.
Woo!
Gonna be 14 years.
Wow.
Gonna be 13 years, sorry. Don't put the angry face on me now. Gonna be 13 years. June 9th, we're gonna celebrate 13 years. But listen, she still has all of those qualities. She still has faithfulness. She still has integrity. She still loves God. She still loves the ministry. She still loves church. And she is still fine as wine in the summertime, and she's all mine. See, when you go apply, also, when you go apply for a job, one of the things employees look at the most is job history. Why? Because they are looking to see if you are a faithful person. A person who is reliable. God needs reliable men and women. God needs faithful men and women. And these jobs, they want to see if they're reliable and faithful. They want to see if you're reliable and you're faithful. And if you are, your application gets put to the top of the list.
Come on now.
Why? Because faithfulness makes you look good.
Yes.
Right.
VOGP, let's continue to look good by staying faithful to God.
Yes.
Right.
By staying faithful. Number two, faithfulness not only makes you look good, but faithfulness sets you apart.
Yes, it does.
Faithfulness sets you apart. A faithful man or woman who can find, Proverbs says. A faithful person who can find. This world is filled with unfaithful people. Why? Why is this? Why do we have so many unfaithful people in this world? I'm going to tell you why. Because they are not building on the solid rock.
Hello.
They build on shifting sand. In the book of Matthew chapter 7 verses 24 through 27, Jesus gives the parable. He tells about the story about the man who built his house upon a rock. And about the man who built his house upon the sand. The Bible says that one built the house on the sand, the other on the rock. The storm came and beat on both of those houses violently. But the house on the sand was destroyed. And the Bible says great was the fall. But the man who built his house upon the rock, which represents God's word and Jesus Christ, it says that when the storm came, that house did not fall, but it stood. It stood the storm. We're going through a storm right now.
Yeah.
Are you going to stand the storm because you've been building on the rock? Jesus said, the man that built his house upon the rock is like a man who hears his word and puts it to practice. See, I know that there's many that are hearing the word. Week in, week out, you're hearing the word this morning, but are you putting the word to practice?
Yes, come on.
Are you putting what the word says to do to practice? Because if you're not, you're still building on sinking sand.
Wow.
Because if you're not, you got to be careful with the storm, because it has the potential to destroy you and knock your house down. Are you building, are you not just hearing the word, but putting the word to practice, applying the word. In other words, everything the word says that you're doing. The word says to pray, you pray. The word says to meditate on God's word, you meditate on God's word. The word says to obey God's word, you obey God's word. The word says to serve, you serve. The word says to give your tithes and offerings, you give your tithes and offerings. The word says to love your neighbor, you love your neighbor. Whatever the word says to do, you put it to practice.
Right.
When you do that, you're building upon a solid rock. But so many in the world are building on sand. And because of that, every time a storm comes, what they have built won't last.
Wow.
Because the storm destroys their work. So now what they got to do is they got to come up with a different plan. But those who build on Christ, The solid rock remains steadfast and unmovable. See, faithfulness sets you apart. It sets you apart from those who are being destroyed. Sets you apart from those that are always experiencing failure. I want you to know that when you're faithful to God, you will not be a failure, my friend.
Come on. Come on.
Maybe in this world's eyes it may seem like you're failing, but in God's eyes you are a success. You are a winner.
Come on.
See, faithful people are in high demand because you're different than the rest. You don't throw in the towel.
Oh, no.
You don't quit when you're tired. You press in and persevere and see the glory of God get you through trials and tribulations time and time again. Why? Because you have learned the quality and the characteristic of being faithful. You got faithfulness woven in your spiritual DNA. And that causes you to shine. It causes you to stand out. This is why as a Christian you should be a leader at your job, because your Christian principles and values cause you to shine in the community, at your job, and your bosses see it and they say, this is a faithful man, this is a trustworthy man, this is a reliable woman. Therefore, let us raise them up, let us give them a raise, let us bring them up the corporate ladder. Why? Because we see that they're faithful, and you can testify to them that I'm faithful because of God. Because there was a time where I wasn't faithful, there was a time where you could not trust me, there was a time where, listen, I would steal the company vehicle. Oh, but look what the Lord has done. He has raised up, he has changed my life, and I'm able to be faithful now.
That's right.
Faithfulness sets you apart. And thirdly, faithfulness gives you a beautiful history. Faithfulness gives you a beautiful history.
That's good.
You know, in Victory Outreach, we have a beautiful history.
Yes.
We have a beautiful legacy in our ministry. You've seen World Conference this year. You've seen where we came from. You've seen how the different conferences, some were from years before, and we were just using banners. And then all of a sudden, you see the conferences from today, and now they're like all, you know, technical and screens. And look how far God has brought us.
Right.
When I've seen that, I see, man, God has been faithful. We've seen the movie Sunny on Friday morning, and you've seen the quality of it. But now, listen, when you see the quality of our ministry now, you're able to see the faithfulness of God, and it's beautiful to see how when people are faithful, it gives them a beautiful history. I love Facebook. I love Facebook. I do. I gotta confess. Can I confess? I love it. I love it. I get on there every day. Sometimes too many times a day. Come on, somebody. Don't look at me like that, because you're the same way. I see you. Come on, somebody. You love Facebook too. Come on. Don't act like that. Amen. I love Facebook. You know? One of the things I love most about Facebook are the memories that pop up.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. Now, there's some things I don't like about Facebook. Amen. But I like the memories that pop up, because I'm able to see how far we have come as a family.
Right.
And as a church. Matter of fact, this morning I just seen a memory that popped up of me and my son Frankie, a picture. And you know, he was little. He was littler than what he is now. Now he's a giant. He's almost trying to pass me up. And I just look at his face, and man, those cheeks were so cute. Come on, somebody. Right? Some of you that see those memories pop up about your children, right? You know? We love those memories that begin to pop up. And you know, many times I look at those pictures, and some of those people in those pictures are not part of our church no more. But we're still friends. And I love that. But what blesses me is when I see the faithful faces.
Come on, somebody. Yeah.
What blesses me is when I see those old faithful faces.
Come on.
See, because those faithful faces, we got history together.
That's right.
And it's not a history of clubbing, drinking, sinning, but it's a beautiful history of serving God.
Yeah.
I want you to know the most beautiful history that you can have is your history serving God.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
See, we see those beautiful memories of church camping trips.
Come on now.
Come on.
New Year's bashes.
Yeah.
Dramas.
Wow.
Rallies.
Come on.
And fellowships. Traveling to conferences. And with some, traveling the world. Beautiful memories that pop up. Huh? They're beautiful to see. Now look, there's no offense to nobody. But a beautiful history is not having a different partner every year or two.
Say that again.
A beautiful history is not having a different partner every year or two. Imagine you having a new partner this year, but in your Facebook memories, the picture pops up of the last partner you had last year, and it's not the same person.
Wow.
That's not a beautiful sight.
Ouch.
That's not a beautiful reminder. Then all of a sudden, there you are, trying to hide it.
Ouch.
Or creating a new profile again.
Ouch.
That's not beautiful.
Santo.
What's beautiful is when you find the right one.
Hey. You
marry them.
Yeah.
And year after year, beautiful memories are popping up. Come on, somebody.
Hey, yes.
That's what's beautiful. I got memories of me and my wife that pop up from, we got history. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? We got history, and there's some memories that pop up that pop up every once in a while in my life that they're memories from before Facebook even came out. You know what they're called? They're called photos.
Photos.
Paper photos.
Hello.
Huh? And I see some of these paper photos of me and my wife. Back then we were just friends. Or should I say, enemies? Because we couldn't get along at the beginning. In ministry, we couldn't get along. She tried to rebuke me one day. We're youth leaders, and we weren't. We're just youth leaders. We weren't. I don't even know if we were friends. We just worked together. And she would get under my skin, and I would get under her skin. She thought she knew it all because she went to the UTC. I thought I was bad to the bone because I was a men's home graduate. So we bumped heads in ministry. And one time she finally had enough. She took me to the back of the church. She took out a chair. She says, sit down right there. And she ripped into me and started rebuking me. She says, and you call too many meetings and you don't let me talk and you're not open to my ideas and all this and that and the other. But it's beautiful to see what God has done now. Huh? And we look at these photos. We got so many memories. And I look at those pictures sometimes, and I think back, and we look so young, but we're in the ministry. There are pictures of us running with the youth gang and being gang leaders and at car washes and going to youth conventions and being a part of world conferences and Mighty Men of Valors and New Year's bashes and we weren't even together, but it was beautiful to see that there's some history right there, that it's a beautiful history of us serving God rather than us living for the devil and out there partying and clubbing. But no, we're building a beautiful history. Not all memories are beautiful. You can look at some of your old pictures and you can remember how lost and how empty you were without Jesus.
Ooh, come on.
See, I want you to know that faithfulness gives you a beautiful history. There's three areas we must be faithful in. Number one, we must be faithful in our relationship with God.
That's right.
We can't be in and out Christians. 1 month you're saved and sanctified. The next month you're sliding and sinning. You're backsliding and sinning. Hebrews 10:39 says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. We need to be faithful in our relationship to God.
Right.
Right now is not a time to be unfaithful. It's a time to be faithful to God. It's not a time to be in and out, in and out. Matthew 24:13 says, Jesus said, But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. In other words, those that will remain faithful, those are the ones that are going to be saved. We can't be in and out. One day we're serving God, the next day we're serving the devil. One day we're being obedient to God, the next day we're being obedient to the enemy. See, people that are in and out with God have a bad testimony. And they make a mockery of God. And the scripture says that God will not be mocked in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7. God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So even if you're a Christian and you have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, or one foot in the world and one foot in God, and there you are, you know, one weekend you're in the world, and the next weekend you're in God. God, the word says God will not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Quit sowing into the flesh.
Come on.
Because from the flesh you shall reap.
Amen.
Continue to sow into the Spirit by feeding your spirit.
Yes.
Gotta continue to be faithful to God. We must be faithful to God. Secondly, we need to be faithful to our family.
Amen.
That's right.
First, we need to be faithful to God. Secondly, we need to be faithful to our family.
Amen.
If you're married, be faithful to your spouse.
Come on.
Honor your vows.
Amen.
Even in hard times.
Right.
Let me tell you, there's going to be plenty of those.
Come on.
There's no such thing as a Barbie and Ken marriage.
Come on.
You know, sometimes the other person makes those vows hard to be honored.
Mm.
But honor them anyways.
That's right.
Honor them. Why? For the sake of your fear of God.
Wow. Amen. Amen,
because you made those vows and those promises before the presence of God.
Right.
Honor them also for the sake of being a person of your word.
Oh, hello. Come on.
Does your word mean anything?
Come on.
If it doesn't, it's because you lack integrity.
Wow.
You lack character. You should honor your vows to your spouse because you fear God.
That's
and
right.
You're a man and a woman of your word.
That's right.
See, as a husband or as a wife, your goal should be to make the other person happy to honor those vows.
Amen.
Did you get that? Your goal as a spouse should be to make the other person happy to honor the vows.
Oh, come on now.
In other words, they don't honor the vows because they have to.
Wow.
They don't honor the vows because of compulsion.
Come on. They honor
the vows because they truly have a love. Why? Because you're such a good husband. You're such a good wife.
Come on.
Listen, it is a pleasure. It is a joy to honor those vows.
Right.
Let me remind you of those vows. In sickness and in health.
Come on.
Yeah.
Right.
In riches and in poverty. And I'll add this one. Through thick and thin.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah.
Through thin and thick. I was thin, now I'm thick, but she still loves me.
Come on.
Come on, somebody. Yeah. And get this one. Till death do you part.
Heavy.
Till death do us part.
Heavy.
Till death do us part. Honor your vows to your dying day. Honor those vows. Stay faithful to your family. See, to be faithful to your family, if you're married, means to be faithful to your spouse. Think about it. If your marriage doesn't work, and your kids are forced to have a separation in their life, it affects them.
Yeah.
They begin to ask questions like, where's mom, where's dad?
That's right.
It does something to them mentally. It does something to their hearts. When you make a decision to part your ways, it does something not just to you. It doesn't just mess you up. It messes you up in a lot of ways emotionally, in a lot of ways, but it also messes up those in that family.
Mm.
Stay faithful to your family.
Amen.
And let me tell you what helps you to stay faithful. You know what's helped me to stay faithful to my wife and to my family? It's been this book, my friend.
Hey.
Because this is a book of faithfulness.
Hey.
Because I read about faithful men and faithful women, not perfect, but faithful. You know, I'm not saying you got to be perfect. You probably might make some mistakes. But I've learned that in my mistakes, I still don't go nowhere. I learned that in my failings and in my frailty, I still say, you know what? I can still stick it out with God. I can still stay in prayer. I can still stay in this book.
Right.
This word has taught me to be faithful, and it'll teach you to be faithful. This word has taught me how to be a faithful husband to my wife. This word has taught me to be a faithful father, a faithful preacher, a faithful pastor. I may not have the talent, I may not have the biggest church, I may not have the biggest viewership, but I've learned one thing. I've learned to be faithful to the calling that God has given me. And listen, we have to be faithful. Be faithful to your family.
Preach it.
Be faithful to your family. See, if you're not married, be faithful to your parents.
There it is.
Parents, you know what the Bible says in the last days? Next week, I'm thinking about preaching a message entitled Symptoms of the Last Days.
That's good.
Or Symptoms of the End Times. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about how in the last days there's going to be terrible times.
Yeah.
And one of those symptoms is this. People will be disobedient to their parents.
Wow.
Yikes.
Kids, teenagers, and adults.
Yeah.
Even as an adult, you still got to listen to your parents, man.
That's right.
Come on.
Because they got wisdom.
Yeah.
You got to listen to them. My mom, my dad, they got wisdom. And I listen to them. If you're not married, be faithful. Be faithful. If you don't have your parents, and you got some spiritual parents.
That's right.
Yes,
man. Come on, somebody. Everybody needs somebody.
Right.
You need a mentor in your life. You need a discipler in your life.
Yeah.
You need somebody that's going to speak into your life.
Amen.
You don't have to be by yourself. You may say, well, I lost my parents. Listen, you can look for a mentor, a leader, a pastor, a spiritual father, a spiritual mother that will father you in the faith.
Amen.
That will mother you in the faith. Be faithful to your family. Be faithful. If you're not married, be faithful to your parents. Be faithful to your siblings. And even if be faithful to your children if you're a single mom or a single dad. Be faithful.
Amen.
And thirdly, you got to be faithful to your church.
Amen.
Yes.
Be faithful to your church. Yes. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to your family. Thirdly, be faithful to your church.
Amen.
My pastor preached a message not too long ago. And he said, the vision continues as we continue.
That's right.
That's right.
The vision. God has given us a vision in our ministry. God has given us a vision. And the vision is still alive. The vision is still on. But the vision will only continue as we continue. If we don't continue serving God, if we don't continue in the ministry, if we don't continue serving the Lord and building the kingdom, the vision can't continue. But I'm here to tell you that God will always raise up a David. If you don't want to do it, God will raise up a David. Saul disobeyed God, and he took lightly the commands of God. So God sat him down and raised up David. We got to be faithful to our church. Like I said at the beginning, right now, our faithfulness is being tested, especially as a church.
Wow, come on, Pastor.
Some of the most beautiful saints I've met are those that have faithfully served in one church for many years without uprooting themselves. They have been able to see their church grow and flourish and grow through the storms of life. Those saints have been able to see their church, their ministry go from glory to glory to glory. I thank God for those that have been with us from the pioneer days, from Park Road days. People like Jose and Jeanette, they're young, but they've been with us since those days. And there's others, Brian, they've been with us since we pioneered on Park Road. They've seen those humble beginnings, and they're seeing where we're at now. And they see the faithfulness of God. They've seen us go from glory to glory. Why? Because it's been faithful people. It's not just being me and my wife. It just hasn't been me that has built this church. It has been the faithful members of Victory Outreach Grand Prairie that has built this ministry. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. We shouldn't be doing what we're doing. The statistics say that we should be in prison or in jail or hooked or addicted. Oh, but because God has taught us to be faithful.
Come on, preach it.
See, Jesus loves his church, and he loves every local Christian church. He wants each of them churches to grow and to reach the lost. And that's why he brought you to this church.
Amen.
So you cannot just be served the word of God, but for you to serve and help build his beautiful church.
Yes. Right.
God brought you to this church so that you can help build this church. You may say, well, we can't go to the building. Listen, but there's other areas that you can help serve. You can go into your prayer closet right now and begin to pray and begin to ask God, I know that I can't go to the building and be there for the online service with the team, but God, what can I do? There must be something that I can do to serve. There must be something I can do to serve my church, to serve the kingdom of God. In order to be faithful to your church, you have to love your church. Do you love your church?
Amen.
Come on, give me some hearts right there if you love your church. See, you won't serve your church if you don't love your church.
Mm.
Loving your church is to love the people of that church.
Yes. That's right. That's right.
Loving your church is to love the people of your church, from the pastor on down. Not just loving your pastor, but loving from the pastor on down.
Yes.
From the pastor to the leaders, to the congregants, to the men's home, to the children's ministry, to the kids' gang, to the gang ministry. You love it. The people of the church. Not just the building, loving the building. We love our building. We love what God has blessed us with.
Yeah.
We take care of it. Come on, somebody. Huh? See, to really love and be faithful to your church, you need to do the following things. Four things. Number one. Forgive your brothers and sisters.
Right.
To really be able to love and to be faithful to your church, you need to do this. Number one, forgive your brothers and sisters. The brethren. Don't hold unforgiveness inside. Don't hold anything inside towards the brethren. If you have been offended, forgive and let go.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive and forget. Some people say, well, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Listen, the Bible says that God tossed our sins into the sea of forgetfulness.
Wow.
That's a scripture. I wish I would have wrote that down, but I didn't. But it says that God tosses all our sins into the sea of forgetfulness.
Right, Pastor.
My pastor says this. He adds to it, and he says, and then he puts a no fishing sign.
Yeah.
So that you don't go dig it back up. Too many times Christians go back to dig it back up. God throws it into the sea of forgetfulness, but Christians are good to fishing it back up and reminding everybody.
Wow.
That's the Holy Spirit's job, not our job.
Mm.
And even the Holy Spirit will do that to warn you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we have to learn to forgive. Unforgiveness will rot you from the inside out.
Wow, yes it will.
Unforgiveness will cause you to be a rotten Christian.
Ooh.
Unforgiveness and bitterness will begin to rot at you from the inside out. It will lead to bitterness and will pull you away from fellowship. It's called the bait of Satan.
That's right.
Offense. You got to make things right between you and that person that offended you. Make things right between you and that person and between you, them, and God. Jesus said, if any man doesn't forgive his brothers their sins, then God won't forgive us our sins.
That's right.
We want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive others.
Wow.
We got to forgive. It doesn't matter if you're offended with the pastor, with the pastor's wife, with the associate pastor, with the worship leader, with the usher, because he told you you couldn't sit there, and he told you you couldn't bring your coffee into the sanctuary. You can't get, you're offended with the kid in the children's ministry because, you know, he stepped on your shoe.
Wow.
We carry these offenses.
Wow.
We carry them. And sometimes I say, no, I forgive. No, you know that you're forgiven when you're not hurt no more.
Yes.
You know that you have forgiven them when you're able to love them.
Yes.
When you're able to talk to them.
Good, Pastor.
When you're able to shower them with your love and kindness.
Good.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Too many people, you could tell that they're carrying unforgiveness because they wear their feelings on their sleeves.
Wow.
We gotta forgive. Gotta forgive. Gotta let go of those things. Gotta let go of that offense. Pastor Paul Yonggi Cho said there are four things that hold Christians back from experiencing the fullness of God.
Mm.
Pastor Paul Youngi Cho is the pastor of the biggest church in the world.
Wow.
In South Korea. He has a church of a million people, a lot of people. Church. And he said these four things hold Christians back from experiencing the fullness of God and the full blessings of God. The number one thing he said was number one, hate.
Yeah.
Hate. Hate. And why do people hate? Because they're holding unforgiveness.
Yeah.
They have hate in their heart. And some people, they have so much hate, and that hate gets in the way of their relationship with God. Because they have hate, it gets in the way with their relationship with people.
Wow.
And hate, listen, will hold you back from the fullness that what God has for you. The other three I'll give them to you. He said guilt holds people back.
Yeah.
They feel guilty of their past, mistakes, and their past sins, and their past life, and what they did in the past, and they carry that guilt. Women carry the guilt of having abortions. Guys too, come on now. They carry the guilt of that past lifestyle, the guilt of some even in couples that you're married, you had an extramarital affair.
Wow.
You cheated on your husband, you cheated on your wife, and they probably don't know about it, and you're carrying that guilt.
Wow.
You need to be free from that.
That's right.
Know that God forgives you, and you need to make it right.
Come on.
You need to come clean.
Come on.
Before God.
That's right.
And pray that He has the courage to lead you to do the right thing.
Amen.
Because that guilt is killing you. It's messing up your marriage, messing up your family. We gotta get rid of that guilt. The next one is fear. Fear. People don't experience the fullness of God because of fear.
Wow.
He writes that when he was younger, tuberculosis became a big disease back then, and there was no cure for it. And he said he went to class one day, and the teacher said, "You know, tuberculosis. Those who are more susceptible to get tuberculosis are those who have long necks." Mm. All the students start to look around the room to see who had long necks. He looked around the room and he noticed that he had the longest neck of them all. Mm. From that day on, he says, He feared that he was going to get tuberculosis. And he started to say, "I'm going to get tuberculosis." And people back then were dying of that. There was no treatment, no cure for it. Today it's a little different. It's still heavy, but it's a little different. And he ended up getting tuberculosis. But you know why? It was because his fear overcame him, he said.
Wow.
But it wasn't until he got saved and he learned to have faith over fear. And he learned that fear paralyzes, but faith releases. And he learned that God did not give him a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Come on.
And he was healed and delivered. I know there's a lot of people that are living in fear of this virus. They're living in fear of this virus. Listen. I'm not saying it's not real. It's real. This virus is real. But we should not live in fear of it.
That's right.
Let me say that again.
Yes.
We should not live in fear of it.
Amen.
We should be cautious. We should use wisdom. But we should not live in fear.
Come on.
Don't let your fear overcome you.
Good.
The last thing he said holds people back is insecurities. Mm-hmm. But the point of it is this. Get rid of hate and forgive. Yes. If we're going to love the church, we're going to love the brethren, if we're going to love our pastors and leaders and love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to forgive.
That's right.
Forgive. Some people are hurt with the leader because the leader rebuked them, corrected them, admonished them.
Wow.
Some people get hurt with the pastor because he preaches messages they don't want to hear. He preaches messages on giving. He preaches messages that challenge them.
Come on.
And they get hurt with the pastor. The pastor don't even know. The preacher don't even know.
Wow.
But they live with that hurt. You got to forgive. You got to let go.
That's right.
If we're going to be faithful to our church, we're going to have to learn to live in forgiveness and forgive our brothers and sisters. Number two, if we're going to be faithful and love our church, we got to keep the unity.
Amen.
Keep the unity by staying connected and plugged in. Staying connected and plugged in. Keep on tuning in. Keep on staying plugged in.
Yes, yes.
Also, by not being a gossip. We keep the unity by not being a gossip or a slanderous person.
Come on.
We got to take James's advice and control our tongue, even when no one is listening. Some people, when we were having church, they leave church, and as soon as they get into the car, they start gossiping. Did you see what she was wearing? Oh, did you see what he was wearing?
Talk
oh, did you hear that message? Mm. Oh, the worst, I didn't like the music today. Mm-hmm. Huh? Listen, that brings division.
Yeah.
Come on.
That brings division. We love our church, and we want to stay faithful. We got to keep the unity by not being slanderous or gossip. Thirdly, we got to stay involved. Mm-hmm. Stay involved. Yeah. Serve. If you're a Christian, the love of God should compel you to serve.
That's right.
Not only the brethren, but also the lost.
Yes.
Sadly, there are many that don't serve. Many attend not just big churches, but even small churches.
Wow.
But they don't lift a finger to serve.
Wow.
They just want to be served.
My God.
There's a saying that says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Change the word give to serve. And it would say this. You can serve without loving, but you can't love without serving.
It's good, Pastor.
So if you love your church, if you love the body of Christ,
come on,
you will serve in your church.
Right.
You will serve the body of Christ.
Right.
If there's really a genuine love. If there's really a genuine love. When I see Christians serving in their church, I see a person that loves their church.
Amen.
And they love God's people.
Amen.
And Jesus said this in John 13:35. He says, and you'll know them by their love.
It's good.
You'll know them by their love. Their love in action.
It's good.
We got to serve.
Yeah.
If we're going to stay faithful, we got to love the people of God. We got to love the church that God has brought us to.
Yes. Amen.
And lastly, number four, if we're going to stay faithful and love our church, we got to keep tithing and keep giving.
Amen.
Listen, I know that we're all going through this trial together. But let me remind you about the Macedonian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 2. In this verse, it says, the Apostle Paul says, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity.
Mm, come on.
It says that this church was extremely poor. And that they were going through a severe trial. But yet in the midst of their poverty and in the midst of their trial, it says that welled up. Those things caused them to well up into rich generosity. In other words, it caused them to have a giving spirit. It caused them to want to even give more. In the midst of a trial. I know we're all going through a hard time right now. But I want to encourage you to keep tithing, keep giving. VOGP, you remind me of this church, the Macedonian churches. You remind me of this verses I just read. Because many of you have been displaying this by staying faithful in your tithes. And staying faithful in your pledges. And staying faithful in your United We Can. You have been staying faithful. Continue to stay faithful. Don't stop being faithful in your giving.
Amen.
I want you to know that the devourer is still rebuked by your tithe.
Come on now.
According to Malachi chapter 3. The heavenly law of sowing and reaping still applies in the midst of a crisis and pandemic.
Come on.
God is not limited to the U.S. economy or the world economy. If there's a famine, a lack of food in the land, God still has authority over the ravens to have them bring you meat.
That's right. Come on.
Like he did Elijah.
That's right.
That's how he chooses to bless you. He still has authority to do that. We live in God's economy.
That's right.
And God's law is the law of sowing and reaping. If you need finances, you need to sow finances.
Hey.
If you need love, you need to sow love.
Come on.
If you need friends, you need to sow friendship.
Come on.
You reap what you sow. God will not be mocked. But as a church, we must be faithful in giving our tithes, giving our offerings. Listen, we're already in hard times. We're already going through a hard time. Let's not make it harder by bringing ourselves under a curse. Malachi 3, 8 through 11. The book of Malachi 3, 8 through 11 says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord Almighty. The word of God is still true in the midst of a crisis.
Amen. Amen.
God will rebuke the devourer.
That's right.
As you continue to stay faithful to your tithe and your offering, God is going to rebuke those devourers for coming and taking your crop and taking your grain and taking what belongs to you.
Come on.
We need to be faithful. In closing, I want to read you Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. This is Jesus. This is what Jesus is going to tell every Christian when they before they enter heaven or as they enter heaven. In Matthew 25:23, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things.
Come on.
Come and share your master's happiness." See, at the end, what will stand out to Jesus about you and what will matter to him about you is two things. One, your faithfulness, and two, your service. Those are the two things that are going to matter at the end. What's going to matter to Jesus, what Jesus is looking for, your faithfulness and your service. So are you being faithful, Victory Outreach? Stay faithful. You don't have to be talented. You don't got to be able to sing like the singers or drum like Jose or play the bass like Alex or play the piano like Brian or Jeanette. No. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to what God's called you. Stay faithful to your church. Stay faithful to the corner that God has placed you in. Stay faithful to the post that God has put you in. Even if you're not a member of this church, but you're part of another church, stay faithful. Stay faithful to your church. Stay faithful to that body of Christ. We're not into sheep stealing here. I believe that every Christian should stay plugged into their church.
That's right.
I've been in one church. When I first got saved, I didn't know about Victory Outreach. Before I went to prison, I got saved. I went to a church, a mega church. I went to prison for 2 years. I got out. I came to Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. I've been a part of this ministry since the year 2002.
Amen.
18 years.
Amen.
18 years I've been part of this. I've been saved for 20 years. 2 years I was in prison. For 18 years I've been part of one church.
That's good.
Did I get offended? Best believe I got offended. Did I like every message my pastor preached? No, because, man, they were convicting.
Come on.
Did I mess up sometimes? Yeah, better believe I messed up sometimes. Was I tempted to throw in the towel? Was I tempted to quit? There was times I thought of it. Very few times. But I've learned one thing. I've learned I need to be faithful to God. And I learned I need to bloom where I've been planted. And even though we may not be together in the building, when we come back, stay faithful to your church. Come back. Come back. And remain faithful. Remain rooted through the thick and thin, through the ups and downs. Stay faithful to God right now. Stay faithful to God. In prayer and the word. But you cannot pray and you cannot read the word without having love for God's people. There's no such thing. You cannot pray and read God's word and not want to do something for God, not want to answer the call, and not want to serve His people. A real Christian that really prays and really reads the word and is a doer of the word is going to be compelled is going to be moved to want to serve. They're going to be compelled to stay faithful to their wife, to their husband, because of their convictions. And even if their wife or the husband gets them mad and upset, but because they love God and they want to obey and honor God, they will stay faithful to their spouse. That's why the love of God has to grow inside of us. You got to fall in love, more in love with God. If you're having problems in your marriage, it might be linked because you're having problems in your relationship with God. You're having problems obeying the word of God. You need to get in this book. You need to apply what you read. You need to be faithful.
Amen.
Be faithful to those vows in your family and your marriage. Be faithful to God in prayer and obeying God. He who loves me are those who obey my commandments, Jesus said. And be faithful to your church. Be faithful to your church. Apply all those things that I taught this morning. Faithfulness through it all. I was faithful before this pandemic, and I'm being faithful in this pandemic. And guess what? I'm going to be faithful after this pandemic.
Right.
Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, I pray for all those that are watching, God. They have been faithful to stay in, to stay tuned. And I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their faithfulness. I pray, God, for those that are struggling in their relationship with you, God. Some of them have been in and out, God. They have one foot in the world and one foot in you. God, it's time for them to change. It's time for them to learn to be faithful to you and you only. And I pray that right now that you would convict them, that you would touch their hearts to want to stay faithful to you, Lord. There are some that are watching that are having marital problems, a wife or a husband. And God, this morning, the Holy Spirit has highlighted things in their life that they got to be faithful in. That God, that those vows that they made when they stood before the priest or the pastor or the judge, Lord, that they remember those vows and they that you would convict them to know that they said those vows before you. And as they are faithful to those vows, they're being faithful to you. And as they do that, their marriage is going to change. Their perspective is going to change. They're going to have a paradigm shift. And it's going to cause them to be a better wife, a better husband, a better parent, a better Christian, a better citizen. I pray for them, God. Touch them, God. Touch them right now. There's somebody crying. There's somebody that is broken. I see it in the Holy Spirit. I see there's a married couple. There's a married couple. There's a husband. There's a wife being touched because you've been going through it. You've been going through it in your marriage. And you've been pointing fingers, but God wants me to tell you there's three fingers pointed right back at you. And the change that you want to see in that other person first has to start in you. You want them to change, but God is saying, I want you to change. You need to change first. And God is saying, as you change, He'll work on them. You take care of His business. Take care of the change that He's trying to do in you. And He says He'll work it all out. But you got to change. In the name of Jesus, I pray for that person right now, God. Come on, it's okay to break. It's okay to cry. It's okay. It's all right. That's the presence of God. That's the Holy Spirit that is touching your life. Come on, let Him flow. Let it flow. Let Him flow. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's some Christians right now that you're battling staying faithful to God and staying faithful to prayer and even staying faithful to church. There's been a struggle inside of you, like, man, that there's been a battle. I want you to know that that's been the attack of the devil. That's been an assignment. The devil has assigned a demon to you. But right now, we cancel that assignment in the name of Jesus. Right now, that demon has to flee from your ear because he's been talking to your ear. He's been talking to your heart and to your mind. Right now, we rebuke that lying spirit in the name of Jesus. Right now, you've been holding unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody in the church. And somebody in your past that hurt you, that molested you, that did you wrong, that came against you, and you still hold it. You carry it with you. And every time you see them, sometimes you run into them in different places. Sometimes you see them on Facebook, and all of a sudden, anger comes up inside of you, and it wells up. And it's like it's holding you back. It's holding you back from the fullness of what God has for you. And God has so much for you. But you got to let that go. You got to let forgiveness. You got to forgive and forget. And we're 90 days, every day, constantly repeat, I forgive that person and I let them go and I put that under the blood of Jesus. Come on, let it go, let it go, let it go. Forgive that person. Come on, begin to name their names. Begin to name their names. Forget whoever it is. Say, Father, I release them. I forgive them in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel Him all over you. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all over you right now. He's all over you right now. Come on. Right there. Just lift your hands and let it go. Let it go. Let it all go. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on. Some of you Christians, you got to stay faithful. Oh, continue to stay faithful. You be growing a little weary. Like, you want to come back to church. You want to get back to normal. But God is saying, use wisdom and stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful to tuning in. Stay faithful to giving your tithes, your offering. Some of you got to serve now. You got to pray for ways to serve. You got to pray and tap into the Holy Spirit and begin to say, God, I need you to reveal to me how I can serve during this time. How I can help my pastors and my leaders. How I can lift their hands and be that Aaron and be that Ur that lifts their burden. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's it, church. That's it, church. Oh, receive. Receive the glory of God. Receive the power of God. Oh, Rabayatarabayatara. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you, you need to recommit your life to Jesus. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus. And right now is the time for you to give your life back to the Lord. I want you to say that prayer. If this is you, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for walking away from you. I surrender to you right now. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Oh, come on, in the name of Jesus. If you said that prayer, you're saved now. You're a Christian now. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on, right there. Just worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. We heard from heaven this morning, God. I believe this was a divine word for such a time as this.
Yes.
Seal this word in our hearts. We rebuke Satan right now. He's a liar. We rebuke him. Don't let him steal the seed that's been planted inside your people. We love you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. I want to encourage you, amen, to stay faithful, amen. If you haven't given your tithes here this morning, they're going to put the information on the screen, amen. And let's continue to be faithful in our giving to the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The worship team is going to sing a fast song, amen. Come on, worship team, lead us in a praise song. Hallelujah. Hey. Also, don't forget next Sunday, parking lot praise with the evangelist Scott Hinkle right here at our church in Grand Prairie. We'll see you there. Hallelujah.
We lift you up. We keep singing. We keep praising. We won't stop. Give it all you got. There's no worthy of all glory. Oh, there is no other. You are forever. Lord over all. There's nobody like you. No one beside you.
That's a wrap. Cut.
Great job, guys.
Thank
you. Jesus will pray.
Amen.
All right, let's huddle up.